fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the readings we're given at today's Mass, the Gospel readings from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. It's a story of two healings that Jesus performed, one on a woman who was suffering from a bleeding. She had some kind of menstrual disorder and was in real need of healing. And then also Jesus raising the dead, raising the young girl, Jairus' daughter. These are given in the context of a whole series of miracles that Jesus is performing, and people are amazed at what they see. And the miracles come in the context of Jesus preaching the kingdom of God. He came preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand. He said, repent, change your lives, change the direction of your life, and turn your heart, mind, soul toward God in a God-directed way. Begin to follow Jesus. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is the authority and the reign and the plan and the will of God. Jesus brought it to a world that was alienated from that plan and alienated from the kingdom. And what we see here is the clash between two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of his beloved son and the kingdom of his enemy. Jesus came to set captives free. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Those who were God's children, those who were made in the image and likeness of God, were born into sin and born into the slavery to sin and separated from God and under the dominion and the power of the kingdom of this world. There really is a devil. He really does have a legion that are obedient to him of demons. And he is a set against the kingdom of God. He's set against man. He's set against those who bear the image of God. He wants to bring each and every one of us into slavery. And he dominates this fallen world. Not completely, but he certainly does. The apostles tell us that the reason Jesus came was to destroy the work of the enemy. Jesus knows who the enemy is. He knew who the enemy was. And he came to bring the kingdom of God, which is the only power that could break the stronghold of the kingdom of darkness. Apostle John said, the whole world is in the power of the devil. That might sound hyperbolic and maybe extreme, but he's right. Because who are the central figures in this world, in God's creation? It's human beings. We were made by God. We were made for God. We're stamped with his image. But there is within us a hostility to God, which flows from original sin and our fallen human nature. And the power of sin, Paul talks quite a bit about the power of sin and death that reigns over us. It exercises a power and a dominion over us. We're not completely free of it. Jesus came to destroy that power and that work, and it's the devil who manipulates those powers, the power of the world, that fallen dimension of human existence, the flesh, the fallen nature within each and every one of us, in the depths of our heart, that part of us that says, not God's will be done, but my will be done. The ego, the center, where I become the center of concern, and I seek to please myself instead of living for the Lord and seeking to please the Lord. As St. Paul said, as he had met the Lord and was converted, he said, now we make it our aim to please the Lord. What Jesus, in his preaching of the gospel and coming forward and declaring that the kingdom has come, he said, a new power, a new kingdom has come. And it's come in the person of Jesus, who is the king of the kingdom. He'll say later that all power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus to establish that kingdom. And establishing the kingdom includes destroying the power of the kingdom of darkness, and it includes setting people free. The human race is in a war. It lives in the midst of a fallen world and in the midst of spiritual conflict and spiritual battle on a daily basis. And our battle is against sin, and our battle is against the kingdom of the enemy that's set against us. And without the help of Jesus, without Jesus breaking the hold of the demonic power that reigns over human life and the power of sin and death, without Jesus' death and resurrection, which destroyed death and restored life, we cannot be free. So what we see here is Jesus declares the kingdom, and then he demonstrates the power of the kingdom of God and what the power of the kingdom of God produces. It produces freedom. It literally sets captives free. If you remember when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin John, he came forth from that baptism after there was a revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Spirit of God resting on him. Now as Jesus begins his mission, his 3 years of declaring the kingdom of God, establishing the kingdom, and establishing it upon the apostles as well. But he came forward and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus came to bring the favor of the kingdom, the favor of the Jubilee year, setting people free from their debts. And in this case, it's the debt of sin. He comes to set us free and gives us a share in the freedom that belongs to him. So here's the two stories. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward and knelt down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live." It's interesting. He's speaking to Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, and for a Jewish person to touch a dead body, it's ritually unclean to touch a dead body. And you'll see also in the case of the woman with a hemorrhage, you can't touch, Leviticus 15:16, to touch a woman who's in that place is to render oneself ritually unclean. It'd be interesting to see what's Jesus going to do. So the official, who's completely confident that Jesus has the authority to do whatever he desires to do, he can literally command the dead to rise, the dead can hear him and respond to his command. So Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. The story goes on. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, those are like professional mourners, the young woman was declared dead. Jesus said, "Go away," to the professional mourners. "This girl is not dead, but she's sleeping." And they ridiculed him. They mocked him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand. And the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout the land. What's spreading? The kingdom of God is spreading. Why? Because the king has come. And how do you know the king has come? Because he's got authority over sickness, over disease, and he's got the authority over death itself. He speaks to dead people, and they hear his voice. He has authority over life and death. So back to the story of the official. Jesus was impressed by the faith that he exercised. The story of Jairus, some people think is the same story, a soldier, a leader, an official, who believed that whatever Jesus commanded would happen. And Jesus was always impressed with faith. And it's one of the things that runs through both these stories. The woman who had the hemorrhage was a great example of what you might call expectant faith. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Without faith, Scripture says, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is to believe first in who Jesus claims to be, in the truth he proclaims. But also, it's to believe who he is, not just what he says, but who he is. And to radically abandon oneself in trust to him and to accept what he says about himself, about God the Father, about us, about the kingdom of God, and to internalize it and to live it, and to say yes to it. Here, this wonderful woman, she suffered for so long, and she was probably marginalized and rejected. Nobody wanted to get near her because they didn't want to be rendered ritually unclean. So she was probably filled with lots of struggle, lots of trouble, lots of shame and difficulty, and she's looking to be set free. She's got this burden, not only the physical burden, but the emotional, psychological burden that she has to live with. And she really is in a place of bondage, and she cannot be set free. And the religious leaders couldn't do anything for her. But she hears about Jesus. She hears the words of Jesus. She recognizes that Jesus is entirely different. And that when he says he's the Son of God, when he proclaims that the kingdom of God has come, that an entirely new reality has entered the human condition in the person of Jesus Christ, she believes. And she puts her belief into action. So her belief is not just in her mind. It's not just holding a set of truths in her mind. She actually now is conforming her life to what she has come to know and understand about Jesus. She's, as Father Francis Martin, a wonderful biblical scholar, used to say, she has the kind of faith that she's leaning on Christ in such a way that if he wasn't who he said he was, she would fall flat on her face. She's risking. She's going outside herself, and she's saying, there's my hope. The person of Jesus Christ is my hope. And she acts on it. She doesn't just stay in her place, but she steps into it because she sees that Jesus said very clearly, he's come to heal the sick. He's come to raise the dead. He's sending his apostles to do the same. And she knows that he can do it. And so she gets up and she pursues him. And it's a bit of a risk. She's going to reach out and touch the garment of a rabbi, which would render him ritually unclean. But she knows what's in the heart of Jesus. What's in the heart of Jesus is mercy. And these stories are not just meant to be kind of an inspiration because we see what happened to someone else. These stories are meant for each one of us, for you and for me. Jesus looked upon her with mercy, and he was inspired, and he loved her faith. He loved the fact that she trusted him and that she took Jesus at his word, and she didn't have any limits. She didn't have her own self-limitation. She didn't rely on her own understanding and relating to Jesus, miracles don't happen. So there's no point. I just have to endure in this. There's no point in reaching out for a miracle. She knew who Jesus was. And so what she believed informed how she lived. And that's what pleased Jesus. It got her moving toward Christ to reach out to him. And she understood, again, what's in the heart of Jesus is mercy. That's how he wants you to live. That's how he wants me to live. Each day with the expectation, first of all, that every promise he's made to us and he's made in the scriptures, he's made for you. And his promise to hear our prayer, he wants you to step into it. He wants you to live in it, to believe that you live in the palm of his hand, that he's with you always, that he'll never abandon you, that you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, and that he's going to give you the whole inheritance of the kingdom. And then he said that greater signs than the ones he performed here would follow those who believe. And that he wants you to step to pray for people, but also to ask for prayer when you need it. That's the life Jesus is impressed with. It's a life that's living in obedience to him. It's a life that's imitating his life. It's the life of a disciple. And every baptized person, no matter what age, is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And discipleship is activated through faith, through the kind of expectant faith that's present in the life of this woman. So today, ask the Lord for that gift, or make a decision you're going to live like the woman who lived with such expectant faith. It pleases God. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.